You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Ollie Pimlott, Paddy Aspel and Rory Delaghi in the studio. It's Kempton and Ripon on Monday afternoon on the domestic front. There's also racing over in Ireland from Cork and Naas. We'll bring you the best of the action there. And there's also Windsor and Carlisle in the evening. It's ladies' night at Carlisle. Right now, my name is Mark Walton. I'm joined in the studio by Alistair Whitehouse-Jones to look ahead to that action. How are you, Alistair?
Very well, thank you, Mark.
Good. Good man. We'll start with a little bit of a chat about the big races on Saturday before we get stuck into Monday, just to get your opinions on the performances. We'll start with Minding, the star horse on show at Goodwood on the final day on the Saturday. She won the Nassau Stakes in workmanlike fashion, probably in the end, but she didn't have the race entirely to suit, and no. It was still a pretty good performance, to be fair.
Yeah, she's just one of these rare talents that has a habit of getting the job done no matter what goes wrong in a race. And it happened at Epsom when she won the Oaks, and James Doyle did his best to scupper things yesterday, but this filly's just got so much class, you know. She could have given those two or three lengths head start and still prevailed. And you know, she's beaten a really progressive filly in Queen's Trust, a horse that could well go really close in the Yorkshire Oaks, which would be her next target. Of course, unless Minding goes there, in which case it would put a completely different complexion on it. But I don't know what the plan is with Minding. Obviously, they're never too overly committal after a big race win. But obviously, if they're going to target the arc, then she needs to have a break at some point. And maybe that'll mean giving York a miss and giving her a prep on nearer the time, maybe. I don't know. But I know there'll be plenty of owners and trainers of top-class middle-distance fillies hoping that she stays away from the Knaves Mar, because obviously, you know, she'll be extremely difficult to beat.
Does the next task for her, should it be to take on the boys?
At some point, you'd hope so. And, you know, as a rule, they're not scared of pushing the boundaries at Ballydoyle, so hopefully. The trouble is, obviously, they've got so many options for the Arc and the Judd Monty and the Irish Champion and so forth. So it's just a case of shuffling the pack. But you'd hope at some point that, you know, she's achieved so much already. She's got nothing to lose. You know, she's already a multiple Group 1 winning filly. So, let's hope that at some point we'll see how really good she is against the best of the boys.
Mm. If she was yours, where would you go?
Everybody wants to win the Arc, you know, end of the season, it's the main end of season target. You've got a Group 1 middle distance colt or filly, that's got to be the ultimate objective. So if she was mine, she'd be heading there without question. Mm. Win, you know, she's achieved, like I said, so much already, both as a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old. There's nothing to lose. It's not as though she's unbeaten. And even if she was, you know, it would still be the thing to do. So she's good enough. I think what William Hill have her at 7-1, do they?
We did strap to the race. I'm just trying to get let's see if it's changed.
You know, so that's a fair reflection of where she stands, I think, in the middle distance division at the minute, you know, against the boys. So it'll be an intriguing arc. She'll definitely add a lot to the race, won't she, if she turns up, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And fillies have got a good record in the race. Yeah. They really have. Mm-hmm. So they shouldn't be afraid of that assignment.
She's still 7-1 for the Arc, behind Postbone, who's 9-2. Derby winner Harzan 6-1. Minding is 7s. US Army Ranger 10s, 12s or bigger for the others.
What's favourite?
Postponed.
Yeah, of course. Well, yeah. If you knew she was going, then she'd be short on 7s.
That's factored into it, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, without question. I mean, if you knew she was definitely going to turn up, then she'd be a fair each way bet at that, I'd have thought.
Mm. The other big race on the day as well, the Stewards' Cup. That went the way of the favourite as well. Dancing Star, another nice filly on show. She won at 9-2. the favourite there, beating Orion's Bow, Raucous and Growl. And to be fair, she didn't just win the race. She's won it a little bit cosily in the end, hasn't she?
Well, without question. And reading the quotes after the race and also, again, this morning, they think she could be top class. I mean, I think the next assignment's going to be the big sprint on Champions Day.
Yeah.
Or whether she'll have another race between now and then remains to be seen. But yeah, I mean, three-year-olds just don't win the Stewards Cup. I mean, obviously last year Magical Memory did.
That bucked the trend, really, didn't it?
Which bucked the trend, and look what he's gone on to achieve. You know, he proved himself a top-notch sprinter. And the one before that was Dane Time back in 1997, and he too went on to be exceptional. So it takes an exceptional talent to win the Stewards' Cup at the age of three, and she didn't just win it. She won it, as you said, with a bid in hand, and she's a filly going places very fast, and she's got everything. She's got a good cruising speed, she quickens, and she's got an absolute, you know, an attitude to die for. She really sticks her head out. Nothing not to like. Just looking at the Wikipedia here, Stewards' Cup winners, I just wanted to check that it was Dane Time in 97, which it is, and they've got Dancing Star down as an 8-year-old, which is a little ahead of her time.
Yeah.
That's not correct. Unless my eyes are going. No, it is 8. Yeah, so, she's one to look forward to. And fair play, because Jeff Smith, he's, you know, been a great supporter down the years. He's had some wonderful horses, and he campaigns them the right way. And hopefully, you know, she'll be kept in training next season as well, I'd have thought. So.
Yeah.
All good.
From reading the quotes on Saturday afternoon, I haven't seen anything since, but I think the idea was to give Dancing Star a little bit of a break now and then bring her back for Champions Day, Ascot, like you mentioned. So.
Yeah, she's come a long way in a very short space of time. You know, yeah. She had that race at York, finished second to Mr. Lupton. I don't know where the hell he is at the minute, but he must be sat in his box thinking, you know, looking at better days ahead. Then won a really competitive handicap at the July meeting, which the form of which is already looking nailed on. Projection was fourth, and he was unlucky yesterday in the Constellation Stewards Cup. And then she's beat her elders yesterday, so yeah, she deserves a break.
Mm. Anything else stand out to you on the Saturday or for the rest of Glorious Goodwood?
It's interesting to read what William Haggis was saying about his handicap winner, Dal Harald, who he wanted to run that horse in the Gordon Stakes, the group race, and the handicapper, Phil Smith, said he'd be mad to with a mark in 98. But it clearly gives an indication as to, you know, where that horse is going to end up. You know, he could be St. Ledger bound, I guess. Wouldn't be utter madness to suggest it. I mean, I think he's got a Voltigeur entry. I'm just looking now. He has got a Group 2 Voltigeur entry, yeah. So he's a horse to look forward to.
Yeah, keep an eye out for him next time then. Let's leave it up there. Let's move on to Monday's action. We're going to look ahead to four races. One of them at Ripon, a couple at Kempton, and another from Windsor. So we'll get Alistair's thoughts in those races on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we'll spin through these in chronological order. So we start in the 3:45 at Ripon, which is a Class 3 handicap over 6 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older, a field of 10 to go to post here. David O'Meara won the race last year with Flyman. He's got two in this year's renewal, Eccleston and Dandy Leakey. Either of those two on the shortlist this time round, Alistair?
Yeah, they wouldn't be ruled out. Eccleston, he's dropped back down to his last winning mark, and off which he was third at Doncaster last time, which was definitely a step back in the right direction. As you said, the stable won this last year. He does run two, but ground's good there at the minute. He'd want a bit of rain. You know, I think he likes to get his toe in, but if they did have a wet morning, then he would definitely come into it. He's definitely respected. But the one I like is Ruth Cartrain Foxtrot Knight, who, has to be said, was a little below par when fifth at Windsor last time. But that was on the back of two really solid efforts in defeat. Kept on well also at Windsor and then finished second at Chelmsford. Just think the return to six is going to suit this horse. And he's fairly versatile as regards underfoot conditions. And I think stepping back up to six, he looks certain to be involved.
OK, that's the selection for... Alistair there then in the opening race that we look at there, the 3:45 at Ripon. Moving to Kempton next, for their 4 o'clock, and this one is a class 4 handicap over a mile and 3 furlongs. Field of 8 to go to post for this one. The most, the best recent form comes from the likes of Soul Intent and I Am Not Here, but there's an interesting one there in Angelica, who's not been seen for 325 days, but did make a winning debut last time we saw her. So interesting race this. How do you see it going?
Yeah, she's a complete unknown quantity, as you said. I mean, the two horses, the two placed horses in that race, the mile and a quarter maiden she won at Salisbury, still maidens, so you could knock the form in that respect. But the fourth horse was actually a shorter price stablemate of Angelica, and has won since. Is now actually rated higher than her. So if it depends how you rate the race. If you rate it through the fourth, then potentially she's very well handicapped. If you rate it through the placed horses, then she's not. So it'll be interesting to gauge the level of market confidence behind her. But I think, you know, risks are attached, it has to be said, after a year off. The one I like is Soul Intent, who ran a pleasing second race for Brian Ellison. This horse should be winning races off its current mark. That was over a mile and six at Doncaster. You know, I'd expect him to be... He's a triple winner on the all-weather at up to a mile and a half. So that was only its second run back from a long absence. If he can build on that, then he's handicapped to win races, and we know he goes on the surface. So I think Soul Intent is the safe play there.
Soul Intent, the selection for Alistair then in the 4 o'clock. Let's move on to the 4:30 at Kempton. This is a class 4 handicap over 2 miles. Only 5 of them in the lineup for this, Alistair, and not really too much between them. Only £7 separate them in official ratings. How do you see, or who do you see coming out on top in this one?
Yeah, this is a tight race. All 5 have a chance, it has to be said. I mean, Mr. Bob won a race here last time and did well to win it. He was held up off a steady pace and beat Voice Control, who was back in fourth that day. He's only gone up £2 for that. It was definitely value for a bit more. But I think the interesting one here is the Nicky Henderson horse, Argenti, who is a 4-time flat winner in France, including on the all-weather. So definitely no stamina issues. And was placed off this mark at Wolverhampton last autumn. Since then, he's finished 3rd on his hurdling debut. That was on heavy ground. I don't think that was perfect for this horse. But he's the kind that Nicky Henderson does well with, you know, dual-purpose performer. Jamie Spencer's a positive booking. Don't expect fitness to be an issue. So, yeah, it's a tight race. Tactics will play a part, but I think Argenti could be interesting.
So anyway, the Nicky Henderson runner there, then at Kempton. And we finish off at Windsor in their 7:30. This one is a qualifier for the Windsor Sprint Series final, a Class 3 handicap over 6 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older, 11 of them to go to post. For this one, Alistair, who comes home in front?
This is as tricky as any of these, but I thought Fang is a horse with momentum at the minute. Won his last two, of course. Dropped back to 6 furlongs, clearly done the trick for this horse. He won from the front at Brighton and Yarmouth. Good to firm for both those races, so he wouldn't want rain, provided the ground stays on the fast side. I think he'll be tough to beat. He didn't have a great deal in hand last time, but he's only gone up £2, and he smacks of a horse that just does enough in his races. He's not the most exuberant, so, you know, he's never going to win by 2 or 3 lengths and be whacked up the rating. So he's the kind who could run up a bit of a sequence. And I thought, yeah, I don't know. You know, I always like to oppose horses on a hat trick and look for something less obvious, but I just think this horse's claims are pretty rock solid. If it did happen to rain, then, and there is a bit of rain in the area down there, so have a look at Lynx Drive Lady and in particular Escalating, both of whom would definitely come into the equation should conditions ease.
But as it stands, you're going with Fang?
Fang for me, yeah.
Okay.
To complete the hat-trick.
Okay, starting with the Jarvis 3-year-old there then at Windsor. Let's just have a little bit of a quick summary, Alistair, before you go, if you'll just spin us through your 4 selections then for Monday's racing.
Yeah, in the 3:45 at Ripon, we go with Foxtrot Knight. Soul Intent gets the nod in the 4 o'clock at Kempton. Argenti in the 4:30 at Kempton. And then at Windsor, Fang is taken to notch the hat-trick in the 7:30.
Superb. Good work, Alistair. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Monday.
Thank you, Mark.
There you go. The thoughts of Alistair Whitehouse-Jones on Monday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. Ollie Pimlott, Paddy Aspel and Rory Delaghi will be the team in the studio. It's Kempton, Ripon and the best of the action at Cork and Nace on Monday afternoon. Windsor and Carlisle will provide the action in the evening. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.